May it please the court.
You may proceed.
I'm in the unique situation where even though the city prevailed in the trial court, there's a cross appeal, so I'm going first. Clarify that right at the beginning. Before the court today is a law enacted by the state of Missouri that is specifically designed and intended to supersede the residency requirement for municipal employment contained in the City of St. Louis Charter. That much was admitted by the state of Missouri in the trial court during the summary judgment proceedings. In considering the respective arguments, I'm going to ask you to keep in mind three admissions that I consider pretty important here. These are facts admitted by the state of Missouri in the trial court in response to discovery and then also admitted in the summary judgment proceedings. The state admitted that in the trial court that the terms, conditions, and qualifications of municipal employment are a local concern, that's as opposed to a state concern. The state also admitted that the state law in question, which I'll refer to as Senate Bill 739, does not impact any other charter cities in the state of Missouri, does not impact any other firemen in the state of Missouri, that only St. Louis firemen were affected by the law, and in fact that was the intent of the law, was to target the St. Louis City Charter.
Isn't it the state's position that it's an open-ended law that could affect any city that has that is unaccredited or only provisionally accredited and requires residency by its firefighters?
That's true. They say that it could possibly affect other cities in the future, but they did admit that there was no current impact on any city other than the City of St. Louis, and that the law was targeting the City of St. Louis when it was enacted. In fact, the amicus brief suggests the same thing. The St. Louis Union of the Firemen filed an amicus brief, and in which part of their argument was they take credit for getting, for years of effort getting this law enacted for the benefit of the St. Louis firemen.
But when it is an open-ended classification, no substantial justification is needed to be shown. Isn't that right?
That's correct, except in terms of the local special legislation issue, what I'm suggesting to the court is that this case is unique and that the state has forthrightly and candidly admitted that St. Louis is targeted here. It's open-ended in terms, which is a testament.
Why does that matter? I mean, people presumably, and how do they govern what the legislators had in mind when they did it? But assuming St. Louis, I presume, had some interest in it, is that our test, or is it whether it's open-ended and others can come and go, or is it so artificially narrow that truly others could not, even though in theory they can? But here, residency requirement, unaccredited, unfortunately, they're not unique. There's a lot of school districts like that.
Well, I know there's unaccredited school districts. I actually don't know about residency requirements for any firemen. I didn't see any. There may be some that I don't know about. I'm not representing that there aren't
any. Is there some case that says if somebody thought this would assist them at the time it was passed, that makes it close-ended, is what I'm asking you?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the...
You're saying, well, it doesn't matter if it appears to be open-ended, if St. Louis thought it would benefit them from the start, then that should be treated, I take it, like it's close-ended, and I'm asking if there's any support for that argument in our cases.
No, not for my argument, there isn't. What I'm suggesting is, for the first time that I've seen, where the state of Missouri, after enacting a law, came out and basically specifically admitted that this is intended to go just to the St. Louis, City of St. Louis.
I think what Judge Stith is asking is it a subjective intent when it is enacted, or is it whether the terms are objectively viewed, and if they're open-ended, is that the end of the inquiry?
I think it could be both. If it could be a testament to clever drafting if you drafted a statute that has the effect of targeting only one city, but doesn't specifically say that.
Of course, the City of St. Louis is an entity unto its own.
Correct.
First-class city, second-class, third, fourth. But then there's the City of St. Louis with its own county, its own city. It's got its own classification.
I think from your answer, you're asking us to adopt a different test. Is that?
Yes. Yes. I admit that on its face, it's an open-ended statute.
And that ends really the legal discussion, because if it's open-ended, then it's presumed constitutional.
Unless it's not rationally related, I think.
Well, then you have the home rule issue.
Right. And But what I'm asking, I'm getting back to what my original statement was, in all the other cases that I read interpreting local and special legislation, and I'll be honest, I had a hard time figuring out what's local and what's special and what the differences are. But in all the cases I read, we didn't have a situation where the body that enacted the law came out and forthrightly said, this is supposed to apply to the city of St. Louis. That's why we did it. That's why we're, or any other city. That's the purpose. That's the reason we did this.
Of course, the Constitution says regarding police that the police commission shall be appointed by the governor. That's the St. Louis, I guess, Kansas City. That's the only two.
Well, yes, but the police board in the city of St. Louis is a state entity, not a city-run entity. It's governed by the state.
Funded by the city.
Funded by the city.
Taxpayers of the city.
All the city does is write the check. Right.
Well, that's all it does. That's all the matter. Yeah, it doesn't really matter then.
Pardon me?
It doesn't really matter that the city's the only ones writing the checks. They're paying for it. It's just, but it's the Constitution that says that. But the Constitution treats the city separately from, and I think Kansas City separately from anything else in the state.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I'm not sure why that would enable the state of Missouri, though, to enact, if it's local or special legislation, why it would have any more leeway to do that to the city of St. Louis than any other city.
So if this court, I understand your argument, if this court agrees with you that it's really a closed-ended statute, but if this court were to find it's open-ended, then what is your argument that nonetheless it should be invalidated?
Well, still I think if it's open-ended that it's still subject to the rational related test. Is there some reasonable basis for the legislation?
And you think that, but you just said, for instance, the firefighters were really excited about getting it passed, thought it made sense. The legislators obviously did so. They had no, I understand you don't maybe agree with their rationale, but that's not the test, is it? You just have to have a rationale.
Well,
would you state?
That's true. And that goes into the equal protection argument, and that also possibly goes into the Article 6, Section 22 argument.
Why don't you go into those?
If you get to the balancing test, we can.
Counselor, before you go on, you started off your argument with three admissions that you thought were dispositive in this case. By my count, you only got to two. What was the third?
Okay, sorry. I'm glad you reminded me.
We tend to do that to people.
Well, I think I might have combined two. I said that the first one was that the state admits that conditions, qualifications of municipal employee are local concerns as opposed to state concerns. They also admit that the state law did not impact any firemen or cities other than St. Louis firemen in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And then the third one was that the legislation was specifically intended to target the city as opposed to any other city. I may have mixed the last two up when I said them. Now, getting to the basis for the legislation, the state offers, the law doesn't offer any rationale within the express terms of law. I know it doesn't have to, but I just state that at the onset. The state offers two possible permissible reasons for this legislation. One is to improve public education, and then it creates a subclass of firemen for the purpose of improving public education. And the other is to enhance fire protection services. If you create a class of firemen with 7 years of service in the city of St. Louis, the trial court found, and I have yet to hear any explanation of how that is rationally related to improving public education. It could be building inspectors' children. It could be public health department children. There's no reason that you would distinguish firemen in the context
of... Well, what the briefs indicate is that you have a vested interest in keeping experienced firemen, and that they have special qualifications, and that that is the reason why they want to encourage them to remain firefighters in the city, yet they may have children in schools where they want them to be in accredited school systems.
Well, I agree with what you said. That goes to the second one, which is improving. I think what you're saying was the argument is that it improves the quality of fire protection if you keep experienced firemen. If you let them move outside the city, you're more likely to keep them employed in the city. That does essentially ask the court to stick its head in the sand, I think, because the city of St. Louis, it's uncontroverted in the record that if you allow firemen, 78% of the city's firemen, to move an hour away from the city. That is not going to improve fire protection services. That's going to undermine.
You only need a rational basis. So a rational basis could be if a fireman wants, you can expand the base of hires or people who would work in the city, would want to work in the city police fire department. You just expand the base if you allow people to live in Florissant or live in Afton or live in wherever they want to live in the county, and still work. You may expand the base of people that you could hire from.
Well, I understand your point. The law in the first 7 years of employment, you must live in the city, even if the law stands.
Sure, but
so you're not. It doesn't really expand your base of new hires.
But expanding, I'm just saying, all you need is a rational basis, and that's a strict scrutiny. A rational basis would be these people would be 7 years of experience. They could go to other fire departments, and you'd like them to stay work for the city still, and if they live in outside the city. With that experience, they could get a job at a different fire department, whereas you'd like them to continue working for the city.
Well, the unrebutted affidavit in the trial court in the summary judgment was that allowing 78% of the city's firemen, including all the top, anyone over the rank of private, to move an hour away from the city would undermine public safety.
Are there prior cases you can point to where the courts have looked at that and said that was just a really bad balancing by the legislature, and we think this is going to really hurt rather than help, so we're going to invalidate it? Do courts get involved at that level, or do they leave it to the legislature to weigh and balance those considerations and decide which one they want to enact legislation to promote?
I think you're right. Generally, it is left to the legislature. The trial court found here, and I think it was pretty persuasive, that this was irrational legislation, not just balancing, that it made no sense to let 78% of the firemen move an hour away from the area they're supposed to be protecting. And there was also facts in the record that once firemen are in the St. Louis, now, and I realize this could be any rational, conceivable reason, but since the state admitted this targets St. Louis, I think it's very hard to just ignore the facts of the city of St. Louis.
It just has to be a rational basis. It could be wrong, but still, it just has to be a rational basis.
Well, you have to ignore the facts, yes. I mean, I used to be a newspaper reporter. We used to joke around with other reporters that don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And I think that's what's happening here.
You'll have time for rebuttal. But remember, you have a home rule argument, which I'd like to hear more about when you come back for your next 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Judge?
May it please the court. The city of St. Louis may be a city that is not in a county, but it is not a city that is not in a state. And that is the effect of the argument the city makes. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the special local law issue because I think it's a minor issue in this case. The court would completely have to change the standard that has been applied. The standard...
What about home rule? What's the home...
Yeah, I'm going to talk about home rule.
Specifically,
the argument that they hone in on is in Article 6, Section 22, that says no law shall be enacted creating or fixing, and then it specifies certain things, powers, duties, or compensation, and then it says of any municipal officer or employment, a municipal office or employment. Now, it's my suggestion that when you look at that, the language in that, and you have to look at the clear language in that constitutional provision, it's plain and ordinary meaning, and you look at the last sentence, that it's clear what that particular section of the Constitution was intended to do. Because it says in the last section, repeating again the phrase office or employment, it says offices or employment heretofore created, obviously created by the state legislature before there was a charter, shall cease at the end of the terms of any of the present incumbents. As the court well knows, historically the legislature would establish whatever offices would exist, whether it be an elected dog catcher or a license collector or a plumbing inspector office. All those things were established by the legislature. unless the legislature decided to give that power to a local city. And that, I think, is what this section is aimed at. The court had to ignore the language in here and also had to insert the word qualifications. We've heard mention of the word qualifications. The qualifications means the same thing as powers, duties, or compensation. And that's a real stretch, I think, to say that. What the city does not do is spend very much time on the section just preceding, or just a couple of sections preceding, which is Article 6, Section 19. Section 19 says city charter city shall have the powers that other cities may have, and all the powers which the assembly, General Assembly of the state has the authority to confer upon a city, recognizing that a city has no existence without the approval and pleasure of the legislature. The limitation being that those powers have to be consistent with the Constitution of the state of Missouri, and they have to be not limited or denied, not limited or denied by the charter or by a statute. So Section 19 recognizes that the legislature has the authority with a charter city to limit or deny certain powers to it. And that's exactly what they have done here. This case is really strikingly similar to some other cases dealing with home rule issues. In Goff versus the City of Springfield, there was a state zoning ordinance that required specific procedures for a protest. Those procedures weren't the same ones that were in the city's charter. And this court said, I believe it was 1996, not that long ago, that the state law was constitutional and the charter provision was unconstitutional. That if the legislature had decided to specify the procedure to be followed, the Home Rule Charter didn't give Springfield the power to disregard that statute. Another Springfield case was versus Belt. Not too long ago, I think just a couple of years ago, that was the one Judge Wolf wrote on red light cameras and said, you know, you may be a charter city, Springfield, but you can't set up a different administrative procedure outside of the court system to handle handle these red light citations. Many of the other cases actually deal with the city of St. Louis itself. The city has argued in the past that the Human Rights Act doesn't apply to it because it's a charter city. And Section 22 prevents the Human Rights Act from applying to the city of St. Louis. This court said no. They've argued somewhat more in the past that the workers' compensation laws don't apply to the city of St. Louis because it's a charter city. And under Section 22, you can't make us follow the workers' compensation law. This court said no. They have argued that the Sunshine Law does not apply to the city of St. Louis because of Section 22. And this court has again said no. If we think about some of the implications of the argument that they make, then they could very well say, hey, Missouri, the feds is a different matter. Missouri, you can't impose a minimum wage requirement on the city of St. Louis. We're a charter city under Section 22. It's our interest what we pay our employees. You can't impose minimum wage on them.
So what is the distinction between qualifications or conditions and duties? Where are they making their mistake or wrongly drawing
the
line?
I don't even think they touch each other. First of all, I think that Section 22 clearly means offices that are created with a specific term either by election or by appointment, and that was created by some other statute previously. And all it's meant to do is we're going to get rid of those offices and let the local home rule charter city decide how they're going to organize their internal governance procedures. So if St. Louis wants to have a board of aldermen with 26 people, they can do it. They don't have to follow the other statute that says
28.
So many council. Pardon?
28 aldermen.
28. I'm sorry. I apologize. Stand corrected. And they don't have to follow the other statutes that provide for the name of the governing entity and what shall be elected offices and what shall not. They get to make those decisions themselves. But they're still subject to state law. The state has an interest in the quality of public education. And the state has an interest in the quality of the education that employees of the city provide. There was a suggestion made that this court found this statute to be wholly irrational. The court did not find that. The court rejected the trial court rejected the standard that this court has adopted. It refused to apply the standard that if there is any rational basis. It said, well, if I apply that standard, then the Equal Protection Clause is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything if I apply that standard. Trial court was clearly in error, and the argument here is clearly in error about that. If this is wholly irrational, the city of St. Louis police officers.
Under equal protection, the statute was irrational. I think it's a pretty low bar to find rational basis.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be on the side arguing that there was not any legitimate or rational basis. Because, as the court pointed out, it's not a weighing function. It's not for the court to weigh and decide, well, yeah, there was some rational basis, but their rational basis is stronger. That is not the function of the law, to second-guess the legislature as to whether or not we would have made or a court would have made the same policy choice. Decision as to a policy choice is to be made by the legislature. There have been some cases that have said the state went too far. I think one of them was St. Louis. Legislature passed a state statute requiring a fireman's arbitration board, setting up a municipal office, an arbitration board, and what the terms and duties of that arbitration board were. That violated Section 22. The legislature was also found to have violated Section 22 some years ago when it tried to establish or require the city of St. Joseph to have a board of plumbing examiners. This court said, no, that goes too far. You're telling them what particular positions, boards, and offices they have to have. Just those two cases compared to all the others, I think, demonstrate the difference I suggest and the limitations as to what Section 22 apply to. Now, back to Judge Breckenridge's question, I don't think you have to get there because I don't think qualifications is part of powers, duties, and compensation. And it's a real stretch to say that residency is part of the power position of fireman, or that his duties, I think, clearly reflects responsibilities. The state can't say, firemen, you shall also be garbage collectors, or you should only fight certain types of fires. The interestingly, the talk about the irrational, the city of St. Louis allows its policemen who have worked there for more than 7 years to live outside the city. I guess their ability to provide public protection services is less important than firemen.
The police department is not a city. They pay the money, but it's really a state.
It is a state board. I acknowledge
so
that.
So they get the state?
I acknowledge we represent them over and over and over downstairs on LAF cases. Although, interestingly, that's by statute, not by the Constitution. And I'm not sure if you take the literalness of the city's argument, how that statute requiring the police board to be governed by the state is constitutional. That's far more intrusive than a 7-year you get out of the residency requirement.
Well, without getting into that,
We don't have to. That's not an issue. But I mean, it demonstrates that
Does the charter say police, or is it the state statute or the charter that says police don't have to live in the city? You said
it is not a state statute. My understanding, it's a policy, and I would assume that policy was passed by the board. And as he said, the board is a state entity.
But under your rationale, how does the state have the ability, if it's not a constitutional issue, how does the state have the ability to set up a separate commission for the police department?
It seems to me to be a huge invasion into their home rule rights.
Right.
So, if you want to give them that much sovereignty over their affairs, how can you justify, particularly with policemen, that you totally interfere?
So is that an admission from the state that the police commission in the city is violating the home rule?
Better.
Well, I can't make admissions on behalf of the state. There would be some I know that would say, well, why not? Go ahead and say that.
You're running out of time, and I wanted to go back to something that
yes.
The city said. They said that the state conceded that this legislation was targeted or intended only for the city of St. Louis. Was that admission made? If so, does that make a difference in analysis of what a special
It was made. I don't think it makes any difference, and for this reason. I would hope all legislation is targeted at something. It's a waste of time if it's not targeted or aimed at something. The question is it aimed at only one thing, and that being impermissible. There are actually, I think, we talk about open-endedness, the number of accredited and unaccredited school districts has changed once or twice just during the pendency of this case. Certainly it's open-ended, it can't apply. There is no requirement in the law that says there have to be at least two entities that it applies to before it can have any effect. And that's in essence, I think, what the city is suggesting, because they were the only one it applied to right now, that it was the only one they could ever apply to. I think I might have mentioned, I apologize for my repeating myself, but how many statutes say that they apply to a city that is not within a county? Every one of those is aimed at the city of St. Louis, obviously.
But we do have laws that were different classification of cities. Was the case of the dentist who had his building taken away from him, and it was a fourth class city, and it had a certain different kinds of requirements for eminent domain than a third class or first class city. And we said it's all right to have different classifications. Then we had those series of cases, Jefferson County, the population, it varied between 170,000, 172,000, then that had a regulation or something. I mean, we have a series of those cases. I think Heidi Dierhoff argued some of those, but I'm just saying We have all kinds of cases.
Well, the statute's replete with those, although there is only one that was the city within a county. Although I think there were some that only Kansas City would classify under when it was charter city of more than X population. In any event, it's the argument of the state that the state has a legitimate interest in the quality of public education provided to firemen, to all employees and all residents of the state of Missouri, but that doesn't mean that unless they can change it for everybody, they can't change it for anybody. And it has a legitimate interest in seeing that experienced firefighters stay with the city, and that young firefighters who don't have a family yet may be willing to come to the city of St. Louis, knowing that when they start having a family and raising kids, they won't have to pay private tuition, that they have another option available. We would ask the court then to reverse the trial court on two counts and affirm the grant of summary judgment on the local and special law counts.
Thank you very much.
The state went over the general proposition that the city's charter may not conflict with state constitution or state statutes. what they failed to get is step two of that argument, which the fact that Article 6, Section 22 is a specific limitation on the laws that the state may enact with respect to charter cities. The question is whether this law exceeds the limitations set forth in Article 6, Section 22. It's not the general standard. That's the initial framework. In the court below, the state admitted, and both in response to request for admissions and in the summary judgment proceedings, that the cumulative effect of the charter city amendments to the Constitution was to grant charter cities a broad measure of complete freedom from state control over municipal employment decisions. That's an admission by the state.
Well, but the law is what we need to follow, and the Constitution says no law shall be enacted creating or fixing the powers, duties, or compensation of any municipal office or employment. How does this residency requirement create or fix the powers, duties, or compensation of any municipal office or employment?
The way that does that is, I'm talking about the combined effect was specifically Article 6, Section 22. The intent of all those sections was to give charter cities freedom over municipal employment decisions. That includes qualifications, job duties.
But the Constitution does not talk about qualifications. It talks about powers, duties, and compensation. I know you want to suggest that includes everything, but they were very specific.
Well, they do have those specific terms, but for instance, they don't have responsibilities in there. Now, the word responsibilities does not specifically appear in there.
But duties and responsibilities can be synonyms.
They can be, but I guess the point is that was an arbitrary example.
Are we wrong in our prior cases where we said the MHRA applies and workers' comp applies and all the other requirements of the law, minimum wage laws, sunshine laws, were we incorrect then because that affects
No, I don't think it would help me to say you're wrong. But
duties could be of the duty to live in the city of St. Louis.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part.
A duty could be you have a duty to live in the city of St. Louis so you can be close to fires.
That's one of our arguments, that it is a duty of an employee to live in the city because the charter imposes that duty.
It's probably a duty to obey the sunshine law, too, but nonetheless, that applies.
Well, that's true, and I know that case, I wasn't involved in it, but I will say there are three cases decided by this court construing Article 6, Section 22, that specifically refer to qualifications of municipal employees within the scope of that section. Those cases are City of St. Louis versus the Missouri Commission on Human Rights, St. Louis Firefighters versus Stemmler, and the Klaus decision. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing that, C-L-O-U-S-E. They all reference, in respect to Article 6, Section 22, that employment qualifications are included within the intended scope of that amendment. And in addition to the state's admission below, that the combined effect of all the charter city amendments was to grant the cities, charter cities, a broad measure of complete control from state interference, we're saying that includes employment qualifications. And if you take the flip side of that, how could the city have a broad measure of complete freedom of state control regarding municipal employment decisions if the state can come in and just supersede employment qualifications? They could pick any employment qualification and say, we don't like it. You can't do that. There's no complete freedom then. Actually, we're just a subservient role. That's not the intent of the Charter City Amendments, I don't think. The state suggested that there's some difference between the constitutional amendment between officer or office and employee. Those three cases I mentioned specifically apply the article in employment context, not just officers.
Are there any more questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.